All right, I think we don't have to do anything with the levels because we were where we at. Okay, this is your co-captain, apparently not flying the plane. I am in the passenger seat. Is there a passenger seat in the cockpit? I mean, I guess there. That's where navigation is.
A jump seat. A folding chair.
Yeah, I'm in the jump seat. So I'm about to get off this thing. You're going to want me off of this thing. Anyway, we've got an episode today that we literally have been pining over so much that we haven't even, we didn't record it for like ever. So, oh, and there's Stella. She's in the cockpit too.
Back again. I know. The intros. She's here for the intro.
She loves it. I know. She's like, all right, well, I thought we were done. I've already served the drinks and the pretzels and peanuts. So, and if you have a peanut allergy, well, Stella doesn't. She doesn't, not that she doesn't care. She just doesn't know. She's just going to start throwing food at you, but she's going to take at least two for herself for every one she throws at you. So just be mindful of that. So anyway, all right, folks. So we've got something that I think we feel good about talking about today, but not, I don't know. I guess we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, for sure.
Consumers are involved. There are. So what was the topic? This was...
So... Recently, if you follow our YouTube channels, I cleaned out the entire basement of my home, and it had been basically been being used as a dumping ground, a graveyard of sorts, for all of this crap.
Things go to die there, and yes. there may have even been carcasses.
Oh, yes. There actually was a mouse in the crawl space that...
There you go.
You know, had passed on quite a long time ago.
Okay. Skeleton of a... Just, that's right.
You're not okay. Joking. It really was.
Okay.
So, you know, it got me thinking. I certainly have gone through periods in my life where I have had to buy more, you know, having a new baby, you have to... buy all this equipment and, you know, just as our adult incomes have grown, you know, we've certainly had more flexibility to buy things that, you know, in that moment we felt like we wanted. But it just sort of started me thinking about how I think that, you know, people can sometimes get caught in this trap where you think, oh, this one object, it's going to fulfill me in some way, this new shiny thing. But this basement, I mean, it was full of things that I thought, or my husband thought, or the kids thought we really, really needed. And I can tell you, that stuff was down there for a good year, and I didn't go looking for any of that stuff. And most of it, 99% of it was given away during that clean out. It was either passed on to people with new babies, or it was just donated to people who less fortunate who might have better use of it than us. And I don't consider myself like a shopping addict. I don't consider myself like I don't get off on retail therapy if I'm down. There are maybe some times where I'll do some online shopping, and I have made some purchases, you know, where I probably didn't need it, but I found a way to justify photography equipment that I just kind of wanted.
That doesn't count.
But oh, good. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Awesome. Well, then I'm good.
Okay, good. So the show's ended. So your problems are solved.
But you know, I don't consider myself like a collector of a lot of stuff, but. It just kind of blew my mind to see how much was down there that I didn't actually use. And the other thing that I want to talk about, maybe part act two can be the crap that you don't want that comes into your life anyway.
Ooh,
mostly from school.
right.
Mostly from school.
Hold on. I'm checking my Amazon feed right now. See, oh. That was delivered. Oh, it's still on the way, but it says it's running late. Okay, so it's my little online retail thing. I'm waiting. Like I've got to do this review, and I'm waiting for it to show up. So yeah, the stuff that you don't want. So do we start with the stuff that we do want, or we think we want, or the stuff that just shows up, and you're like, I am not excited at all about this.
We can start either place, but I think it's all part of the same conversation of like,
sure.
eventually you're an adult in the house and there's these kids around and you have to sort of help manage all this crap.
You do.
Their crap, your crap, the crap nobody wants, the crap some people want and others don't. And, you know, the industry of organization is huge. You know, a recent trend on YouTube is these decluttering videos and clean with me videos where people just like film themselves cleaning and talking, and you could kind of put it on in the background while you clean too. And like, I think it's all great and motivational too. Like, if it kind of did help me get to that point where I was like fed up enough to clean out the basement. But it's just interesting, like, you know, we all have limited space. Almost everyone has limited space. You know, we don't live in these mansions where we have unlimited, you know, time and money to put every purchase that we may want. But yet we all do keep buying. And what hole in ourselves are we trying to fill? And how can we help ourselves understand, like, that thing isn't going to fill what's missing for you?
Yeah. So you just tapped into the other space, mm-hmm. the emotional space, yeah. not just the physical space, but the emotional space. So, I mean, I think, especially with the internets, the way that they are today, like I can check on my order from Amazon, is that we have much easier access. So when you talk about retail therapy, and you're right, there is this decluttering thing, this organization. I mean, there are plenty of entrepreneurs that have started out like that's what they do, because you get to a point where you become both physically and emotionally paralyzed by the stuff that you accumulate, because you get boxed in and then you think, like, I can't possibly clean this stuff up. Like, just like, where am I going with it? Because, like, I don't have enough space to put it. Like, to your point, like, you were just trading space. Like, it was stuff that it just gravitated toward the basement. But then eventually the basement gets full and you're like, I've got nowhere else to put, like, I need to clean it, but I can't even move this to, like, get it out of the way so I can clean in here. And then again, the emotional paralysis of, like, and that's part of, like, the physical space of, like, well, I can't even see myself starting to declutter. And then you think, and then you start, like, feeling terrible. Like, well, maybe I'll use that again. I used it like 4 years ago and I might need it
to get rid of it. And yeah.
Yeah. And I'm all about recycling. I'm all about paying it forward. I mean, you know that, like, I was here's a stroller, here's a car seat. Here's like, I love the paying it forward thing, because, you know, you're helping someone not only financially, but also like their space is, you know, cluttering it up with like stuff that, you know, maybe I can help, like, okay, you don't need to go out and buy it. Like, yes, that's going to take up some space, but then hopefully you get in that mindset of, but then I will pay it forward when I'm done with
exactly.
it. Exactly. You know, and then we can lower our carbon footprint. And I'm sure the retailers are not happy about that, that you're not going to buy
a brand new
whatever.
Yeah.
But your kids are going to mess stuff up anyway.
It's true. Well, and I buy a lot secondhand. I accept gifts when offered, if it's something that I need, but I'm not tied to like that itch of like, oh, I want to buy, and it gives me some sort of rush, you know. Especially, I think a lot of people feel like, oh, I got something new, it's like brand new to me. And you know, to me, I don't really get off on the thing, but I think I am always trying to, like, okay, well, like, my daughter really is like really active and she's like climbing the walls, so I'll get her like this trampoline. Well, like, that was a stupid ass purchase. Like, she's not going to jump correctly, safely on a trampoline. Like, right. Have I met this kid?
Right.
So then, like, 2 weeks after it came through, it was in the basement because I couldn't let her use it, you know? Or, oh, like, they want to do gymnastics. So then we get like the gymnastics clothes. And then, like, oh, she's like so into music, so like I got these like kids' musical instruments. But like, I think it's not so much about the purchase, but me just trying to like give experiences. like, oh, well, this thing is going to allow me to have some sort of experience in my head. And like then the real world happens, and, you know, the idealistic experience that I thought would be so like such a time saver or like so fun for the kids, or, you know, I was going to pick up this hobby or whatever it was, like, that didn't come to fruition.
Right.
And then I've just got the gear associated with it lingering.
Well, and I think you are straddling this whole thing of experiences right now. And I think a lot of us have social media to thank for that, because you see these people experiencing these things. So you're like, oh, wait, dance? Oh, let's go out and get some, you know, tap shoes or dance shoes or an outfit, or let's sign you up for this class. And I think certainly there was a time, and I think it still exists, but there was that, you know, when you talk about consumerism, like if you wanted something, credit certainly was not as readily available as it is today. And I do think that there was that, well, I got to wait till I get paid. And then by the time you got paid and you paid your bills or whatever, because you didn't have a credit card, or the credit card you had just had very little limit on it, you were like, okay, well, maybe next week or next 2 weeks or next month. And then eventually that just kind of fell off. So we just have easy access, not only from the internet of saying, like, I can go on Amazon and be like, bing, I need that. Do I need that? Need versus want. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, my kids are learning that lesson for sure.
Oh, so, okay. So how do you, what are your struggles? What are your pain points of trying to, in their mind, differentiate need versus want? Like, how do those conversations go with you? Because I've got the teenage thing going. You definitely have the, okay, I can talk to them, but are they going to really understand this? So like, tell me, like, walk me through that.
So those conversations there, I mean, it's pretty much what you'd expect. Like, okay, well, I know you feel like you need that toy, but look around you. There are a lot of toys here in this house, and you actually don't play with them. So what do you need it for? Well, I need it for playing. Well, why can't you play with the toy you have that you asked for, that you earned, that now you don't pick up? And you know, yes, 6 and 4. I mean, the conversations there's not that realization moment yet, but I think that's just going to come with having those same conversations over and over. I can tell you that when I cleaned out the basement and they saw how much came out, you know, they were shocked that we had so much down there. And there were things down there that they had forgotten about, that they didn't even remember having fun with. And when it came back up, it was like new again. And to them, it was like, oh man, I haven't picked up this thing in forever. I really missed this. Well, they think they missed it, but they didn't even remember its existence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is it different with the teenage mindset?
So it is a bit more manageable to a degree, because I have, now we've shifted into not having toys. Now there are sports items like cleats and indoor soccer shoes and things like that. So for instance, we had matches up north which that's probably irrelevant to like north of what. We just had matches that were near some outlets that when after the match, we needed to go and pick up some indoor shoes and some cleats for Declan because he was outgrowing them. And Liam had said something along the lines that he thought he might have needed some indoor soccer shoes. And there's a balance with three boys that are very close in age, because I could see the wheels spinning a little bit. And he even had mentioned something like, well, I do feel like I'm always getting the hand-me-downs because I'm the youngest. However, his most recent pair of cleats and his most recent pair of indoor shoes were brand spanking new for him, although he could have fit into his brothers at the time. It's a balance to say like, okay, you're right. You are getting this stuff hand-me-down quite a bit. But what it came down to is, you know, I did remind him of that time that, okay, the shoes you're wearing right now, we purchased those brand new. So you know, he had the, like, he real, like, you're right, Dad, you're right. And I said, you know, do we, when we talk about the clutter, do we want to bring in another pair of shoes? Because ultimately we'd have to get rid of a pair of shoes. And so the short of it was, we were able to get Declan his cleats, and because he was in between sizes where he couldn't fit into Flynn's, or Flynn's were just so worn that he just couldn't wear them. So we got him his. And you know, the funny thing is, or like that just happened literally, is when he came home, he commandeered Declan's indoor cleats and said, I can wear these. And he grabbed his old shoes and he was going to give them to his teammate.
Nice.
Because his teammate wore his size. Previous size.
Yeah.
And they were nice indoor cleats. And so like, that was a moment for me. And all I can tell you is what you just told me is like, sort of, you kind of have to be repetitive. You kind of have to stand your ground. You have to know when it's okay to say yes and when to say no. Like, 'cause it's not always a yes.
Yeah.
I think your kids definitely need to hear no from time to time.
Oh, heck yeah.
It's healthy. It's healthy. But the fact that he unprompted had said, hey, 'cause he had asked my wife, he had said, hey mom, is it okay if I give, you know, my teammate these indoor shoes? And of course we're like, well, we can't pass them down any further unless Stella's going to wear them. And, you know, we were like, of course, you know, and so like instilling that practice of paying it forward, and it's not taking up space now in our wardrobe, you know, in the mudroom, and that he is able to actually comfortably wear his brother's shoes. So how we got there was based on what you were just saying, is repeating, yeah. Rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a yes, it will be a no.
And that's a testament to like your good parenting, because culture right now, mm-hmm. is not telling people like, hey, used stuff is just as good. You don't need to buy a new pair of cleats. Culture's telling you, oh no, you need new shoes, like now.
Yes.
And yeah. And there's and culture is not only telling you to buy, but it's also telling you, oh, there's sentiment with the old thing. And I almost feel like there's this element of like with the stuff that comes home from school, like, oh, this has sentiment to it. And you need to, like, this piece of art that you made today, man, don't throw it away.
Right.
I mean, and my kids are at a young age, they're very impressionable and they're latching onto that. So if I want to get through some of that paper that comes through my house, I have to do it when they're not looking, because they're getting this message from, you know, advertising, shows, YouTube, that, you know, the stuff around you is giving you value. And like, you know, whether it's an ad for like, oh, well, you can frame your kid's art. Well, like, and then there's this question in their head. Well, like, does my mom like my art?
Yeah. Right. Like, why are you not hanging that on the wall?
Yeah. You know, or like whatever it is, you know, we're in this culture of comparison too.
Yes.
My kids are not on social media comparing themselves and their family to other people yet, but I assume when we get there, then it'll be like, oh, well, so-and-so's mom and dad do this for them.
Yes.
Why not us?
Well, and see, that's where you hit on the point when you ask about sort of the teenage, heading into the tween teens, is that, you know, Joey's dad or Joey's mom takes them here or does that. So like, I talked about the soccer cleats as an example. And so we're also in the digital space. Like, we don't really have toys around, but it's like, well, hey, can I get that app, or can I get that game on Xbox? Can I purchase it? Because like, you know, where's your credit card? Or like, can I borrow your credit card or something, like, you know, so there is that. And like, hey, do you understand how that credit card actually works? I still have to pay that, right? Okay. So we do kind of have an earning, whether that be exchanging time for money for them, or exchanging their time to actually do something for the betterment of the household. And whether that's like, you know, doing well in school, doing chores that they may not get paid for, but it's just, it saves us time, because time is currency. Uh-huh. You know, we've talked about that. And so, yeah, you're right. There is a much more access to keeping up with the Joneses, like on steroids, mm-hmm. than like, and so I know that we have had to sit down with our kids and have those conversations of like, hey, I don't know. I can't tell you why Joey's parents do this. And Joey's a fictitious character. They don't have any friends named Joey.
Dang it, Joey's parents.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that for birthday parties, this is a big one. You know what? Like when I was a kid, like I think my last birthday party was when I was 8. Yeah. And then the rest of it was just like, hey man, happy birthday. You know, like it was like a sleepover or it was this. And like they have friends and hey, I don't want this to be like a parenting thing. It could be, but you know, the whole like, hey, they're going to the tramp place, the jump place, the Nerf war place, the paintball place. I'm like, why?
Yeah. But like not even just the experiences, but the gift giving too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and I know that sounds terrible and there probably be some people flaming me like, well, I do that for my kid. All I'm saying is like, I'm not saying like, don't invite my kid to a place like this, but what, I don't know the whole birthday. Yeah. Like we celebrated as a family, even if it was just my mom and I, and like, then yeah, maybe we would have some friends like sleep over that night or whatever. I just think that there is this peer pressure to like outdo everyone on these like birthday experiences. And I'm like, to what end? Mm-hmm. So yes, it's an experience, but all the like the bags they come home with, I have enough pencils and erasers and bubbles.
It's like the only time you get like non-mechanical pencils is in a gift bag.
Stickers, like gum.
Oh, man.
I mean, like the gift bags. Listen, folks, I'm just like, that is part of the consumerism there. Like, what are you teaching? You know, because our kids will kind of joke, be like, did we even celebrate my birthday last year? You know, like, yes, we did. We made you a cake. You got some gifts. We hung out as a family. Maybe you had some friends sleep over, but come on, you're 13. You do not need to go to a bounce place or like a jump place. I don't know. Like, I sound like a terrible father.
Well, I do think, and selling experiences is certainly part of consumerism. So I totally hear what you're saying. Do you feel like families who have like two working parents and there's not a parent at home sometimes overcompensate with like either gift giving or birthday experiences? Like, oh, well, you know, we got to make this day special because his life isn't special.
Right.
Because we both work and there's that guilt there.
See, this is perfect. So, see, look, we are on to another topic. Like, we're still in the consumerism thing, but I think that's the thing too. Like, I think people are consumerism out of guilt. Like, they buy their spouse a gift because they're like, oh, I was terrible or I've been neglectful or, you know, let's talk about the kids for instance. Yeah. Like, if you two working parents and you think, like, wow, this kid must be effed up if I'm not around.
Right.
Let me just tell you, your kid's fine.
Do you know if your kid's effed up?
Your kid is okay. The majority of you out there listening to it, the 5 or 6 now, I think at this point.
Ooh.
Yes. I think we've jumped. We'll hit double digits here soon enough. But yeah, no, I think you're right. We're guilted by, I think, social media and people like, oh yeah, Susie had such a great time last week at so-and-so's party. And you're like, oh man, the party. Oh my gosh, we got to plan so-and-so's party. And I'm just...
I don't mind having birthday parties for my kids, but I put on the invitation, please don't bring us gifts.
Yes.
You know, we don't give out goodie bags. I just make it clear it's about getting together.
Yes.
You know, so if you want to come and have some cake, come and have some cake, and you know, no hard feelings if you're busy that day.
Yeah.
You know, my kid's more excited about planning the party and inviting who they want than the actual day of.
Well, think about your kids at their age. So like, because this is what we do, like we'll invite people, like get some pizza, some burgers or whatever, make some cakes. And again, I think that for a child, they're like, I'm hanging out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I get to have soda, right? And cake.
It's a sugary drink.
Yeah. I mean, like there are so many ways that you can splurge and like smother your kid and like all this attention without having to spend all this money to go to like Chuck E. Cheese, which I will tell you, Flynn left a party there and immediately vomited out in the parking lot. I am not kidding.
The food there is pretty bad. I was surprised and bordering on impressed at how much cleaner The last Chuck E. Cheese I went into was what I remembered as a kid. And if I remembered something as a kid being dirty, yeah, you can bet it was nasty.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not, you know, and I don't want to blame Chuck E. Cheese food, but it's just filth funk.
Well, it's
seriously,
made
because
of,
everybody
like,
is touching everything.
Right.
But no, everybody's touching all the stuff. And then everybody, you know, hand right. to mouth, you know, like you're touching your hand to mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm, and that's, you know.
Let's not think about that too hard. Anyway, hard left. We're
okay.
veering.
Microbiology. yeah. So I do think I don't want to blame people for saying like, that's what I want for my kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, from a parent standpoint, it is nice to be able to just drop your kid off at somebody's house and say like, oh man, we got to drive where to drop them off and then come back like an hour later mm-hmm. to then come. Like, we just try to make it as easy as possible. And I think you have to do what you need to do for your own family. But yes, like, you're still accumulating emotional stuff, the stress of like, well, we got to get there by this time. We've got to make sure like all these people RSVP and we've got to like, and then there's the gift bags. And did Joey have like an amazing time? Did he have $600-$700 worth of fun? I mean, that's a lot.
That's a tall order.
Oh my gosh. Like these jump plate, like these paintball and like, I'm like, you what? Spent what? I mean, sure, it can be fun, but we get that from our kids.
Well, that place sold you the idea of they were going to provide this emotional product to you. And so it's emotional clutter. Like the guilt is emotional clutter. And then the like journey to like try to fulfill something in yourself as a parent and your kid's birthday, you know, that's clutter. And then, you know, what they're trying to sell you while you're there and all of it, it's all clutter. Even if it's not a physical object, you still have to hang on to it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is like, if you're looking at it from a guilt standpoint, you're saying like, well, I'm unavailable these days. I mean, I did a vlog about this where I talked about the benefits of being an entrepreneur. I had some stuff on my plate. I cleared it and I took Liam out and we went to a movie. Mm-hmm. There was no party. There was no, like, that was an experience. I did pay for that. It was very spontaneous. I knew he was kind of sad that day. He was kind of just not feeling it. And most people like, oh yeah, but I got a job that I can't do that. Figure it out. Like it could be a Saturday or Sunday. Like grab your kid and spontaneously say, hey, we're going to go to the arcade. I've done that too. And just say, hey, I have to find where I can get cash, then change those into quarters.
Again, cash. Like,
what? Right. But we've gone to like an arcade, like in the back of a candy store that's down there on Pearl Street Mall. And so that to me, I think is more meaningful to them. Because if you're feeling guilty or there's a disconnect there, well, what are you going to do? Smother them in this experience where it's just like all their friends and you're just sort of like sweating bullets because you're just like, I hope nobody like breaks their ankle, mm-hmm. you know, on the trampoline.
Well, the difference is it's an authentic experience versus like something that somebody sold you.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I know that that exists and that makes it even more special because it's not like, we do this at every birthday or we do this every Sunday. Like this is something special, mm-hmm. you know, and they feel that like Liam had even watched the vlog. He even said to me this morning, he said, oh, I watched that vlog where you talked about taking me to the movies. And he started, you know, like he was kind of reminiscent of it. Like he was talking about it. Mm-hmm. So, and then accumulating the toys or accumulating the stuff, like I said, it could be your apps. It could be your Xbox like games.
Digital clutter for sure.
Digital clutter. You can still have that even if you don't have physical clutter. I mean, minimalism is really kind of taking hold. I see a lot of YouTube videos about minimalism and people talking about van life and decluttering this and cleaning this out.
Yeah.
So like, you know, what?
I think there's a misconception from some people's point of view of like, what is minimalism? I watched a parody video about minimalism that the guy made a point like, oh, well, we're so rich, we don't actually have to have things.
Right.
And I think there's like certainly an element like, yeah, you know, like not everybody can afford to be a minimalist. And some people have to like, you know, oh, somebody's handing down that, you know, and yeah, I'm just going to take it and store it because it's free at this point. Or, you know, I can't afford to go out and have experiences every weekend. So I'm going to have some clutter in my house so that there's something to do there.
Right.
That kind of stuff. And I get that. Like, but I agree with you. Like, minimalism is certainly taking hold because people are overwhelmed with the amount of just junk around them.
Yeah, they are. And I do think that that makes, you know, a point when you talk about like your wealth. I think when people get a little bit of extra money in their pocket, you know, that's control for them. I know when my mom had won a lawsuit and she won a significant amount of money, this was just not that long ago. She passed away in 2013, but she had won so much money that it was like more money than she knew what to do with. But the issue was she didn't know anything, like she didn't know how to manage this money. And it's amazing like how she started kind of throwing money because she felt like it was powerful. Uh-huh. Like she could not only buy things for herself, but then she could help buy things for other people. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Don't feed that illness either. Like for other people.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I'm trying to explain to her, you didn't win the lottery. Your life was changed forever because you were physically like injured and you need this money to help take care of you as you know, and she did. So for me, I think at an early age, I realized like how quick things can come and go. So yeah, to your point, like there is a minimalism where you're like, I could buy that, but I don't need it.
Right.
And so then there's the flip side of like where I grew up, I know that my family would go crazy over the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, aren't we broke?
Yeah.
Or it was just a way that they were showing like how well they were doing. Like they got some bonuses or they did some overtime. I mean, my family, you know, they had good jobs for them, but it got to be a little ridiculous, like mm-hmm. with the gift giving.
Right. And I think that goes back to that, you know, wanting to buy an experience, a memory, you know, like, oh, the holidays and this idyllic picture of what Christmas is.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, January comes and you have a pile of stuff. And yes. How much does it really mean to you?
Right. You have a pile of stuff.
Yeah.
That eventually will end up in Marie's basement that she's going to have to carry out.
No. The basement's clean now.
Yes. I know. I know. It's great. It's great to have that cleanliness there, that minimalism down there.
Hey, I got 500 square feet of my house back.
I know. And I think that's the thing. I think it's like the person that eventually, you know, they slowly get out of shape. They slowly, you know, gain weight. Or on the flip side of it, they probably lose weight they don't need to be losing, you know, because they're not really paying attention to like the bigger picture of like what's going on. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh wow, I can't get up off the sofa anymore. Not because I have like DVD players in front of me, but like, you know, like, I mean, there's so many things that I think we get distracted by. Mm-hmm. And it's like on to the next thing. Really quickly. And I think I don't think that we're going to be able to completely resolve the issue. Not that we were trying to set out to resolve the issue.
Yeah, we're not problem solvers here,
guys. No, we're not. No. We actually have our own baggage here. Although I love the away luggage, uh-huh. The away bag. Away does a great carry-on.
Sponsorship?
Yeah, exactly. If you're listening, Away. Oh yeah, where's the airport? Oh my gosh, we have our sponsor. We're going to reach out to Away. So not a sponsor right now, but Away, if you're listening, you will be.
Hashtag ad.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I think that there is the physical consumerism, there's the digital consumerism, and I'm not even talking about apps and games now. I'm just talking about how you consume, like you're living vicariously through other people's lives, through social. And I know that we're both vloggers and people may like resonate. It's like, oh yeah, I'm very much like this guy, or oh, I love the way this guy does this or that. And so like you're living vicariously through them. Just remember, you know, guilt or not, like live your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
there's no object that can make you, you.
Right.
There's no object that's going to amplify the great personality traits that you work to, and you know, have in yourself every day. There's nothing that's going to fulfill. If there's something missing for you, you can't fill it with a thing. Even you might say, oh, well, like, but it's a tool for a new hobby, a new, you know, avenue in my life. And like, that's great, but the object isn't going to fulfill you. It's not going to make you change or work harder or set a new goal or meet a goal. It's, you have to find it inside, unfortunately. It's harder.
Well, and I think what makes it harder too is that if you go back to the older mindset to say like, all right, well, I'll wait till I have the money to spend on this, or I will, if I have to put it on my credit card, I'll know that I can put $300 toward that to pay it down or whatever. Like, I think you can, if you can mentally get into the space, like, okay, can I just wait a week or something like 5 days? See if it's something that's still calling you, still, you're still pining over. But the problem is I have a coupon code. And if I don't buy it now, I'm going to have to pay full price or 25% more or whatever.
That goes all the way back to time management, money Internet. Management. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think that trying to find space in your head for this thing too, like not just your home, but your head, because you're right. Like if it's something, although except for camera gear, you know, and we do need to amplify with the microphone. So we need this gear to do this podcast, but no, I think, you know, justifying it as, can I also have it emotionally in my head? I want to go out and do photography. Okay. Well, do you have time to do photography? Is it something that you really want to learn? Is it something that you just think is cool or your neighbor's doing it? I don't know. I mean, there are definitely ways to try it out.
Oh, yeah.
Use your phone first.
Or buy a less expensive camera.
Yes. Know. Do they still make those like disposable cardboard buttons? Yeah, that's probably not the same thing.
Learn about exposure and shutter speed and lighting and framing and, you know.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. I don't want to do photography anymore. Forget it. I'm done.
And by the time you can afford the nicer camera, you know, then you're going to know something about how to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, that enters into a whole realm of like, people just don't want to buy a thing. A lot of times people want to buy like the nicest version right off the bat.
Yeah.
And like, we don't have to go down that road, but you don't need the top of the line, you know, hiking boots to climb the mountain.
Right.
You can probably just make sure your ankle's supported and start.
I think I'm going to take up surfing again.
Man, you're speaking my language. It's like all I'm following on Instagram is
really?
Surfers.
Yeah. See, the issue, though, is that I'm realizing, like I'm being mindful of it, is that I live in Colorado. Right. I live in Colorado.
That's what I keep running into.
I know. I keep running into the rocks.
Skateboarding. Yes. So that's what we got out here.
Yeah, exactly. So skateboarding for sure. So yeah, I think if you can assess, like write down, what is this going to give me today? What is this going to give me tomorrow? What is it going to give me next week and so forth? I know this sounds ridiculous, people, and I know you've got a coupon code that you need. It's like burning a hole in your phone or your app or whatever.
Your inbox.
Your inbox, yes. Like, that's the thing. These retailers, darn it. The coupon codes. Oh, I do have to order those floor tiles by September 3rd, though. I'm redoing the office,
It's Labor Day.
I know.
It's upon you.
So... I do. So do you even have time to be shopping for this stuff? Or are you just feeling,
right?
Are you just deferring stuff that you really need to be doing? So I do think that this retail therapy is not necessarily therapy at all, but it can be a downfall of like what you're investing in yourself. If you feel like it's something like this is for the long term, this will get you to point B and then point C. Okay. Just make sure that that's what it's going to do instead of it's going to kick you back and you're literally filling your basement, your attic, your garage.
The storage locker you're paying money to rent out. That blows my mind.
When they make those warehouse, like those storage units, I'm thinking like, what a business. And then, in the next breath or thought, I'm like, that's sad. But because before, like it was great for people that, you know, when the economy tanked and they had to get out. And so they needed a place to put their stuff.
Sure. That's fine.
Yeah.
But like, you know, just to have stuff sitting away that you don't even know what's in there for years, paying $100 a month for.
Well, the the marketing
stuff.
You'll see the marketing and say like, hey, not enough room in the garage. Want to get it out of your house? Yeah. You know, come here. I'm like, wait.
You're literally paying to own your own possessions.
Yes.
Offsite.
You're leasing the stuff that you bought. Right. Sort of. I mean, yeah.
Although I will admit, I want to do one of those YouTube videos where I go buy an abandoned locker.
Oh yeah, we should. It. We should find out like, but you got to beat somebody out on those things.
You got to bid, but like, they aren't going for very much. I've done some market research.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole other episode.
Hell yeah.
Good grief, Marie.
We should podcast it car.
We'll do that right from, we're going to be podcasting live. And then if we get in like a fight or something, because somebody's like, that's mine. I don't know. Like, yeah. So I guess apparently we've got another side hustle now. We're going to bid on
just what we both need.
Warehouse or storage lockers and see like what we get. And then I'm gonna be back on eBay now.
No, because the end of that vlog will be us sitting with a bunch of crap and we'll be like, oh, what do we do with all this crap?
Yep, CDs and flip phones. That's what it's gonna be. So Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and some clothes
from the '80s.
Yeah, but actually, that's
oh wait, that's back
style,
in
style, right? So that could be the score right there. So I don't know. So anyway, just be mindful of your consumerism, folks. Whether that's just the digital consumerism, you know, you're consuming digital. Just love yourself, hug yourself, realize like you're awesome. You don't have to live your life through the Joneses. You can say like, hey, that looks nice, but you have your own stuff too. You got your own life. You know, build that, build those experiences. Sorry, Chuck E. Cheese, for like calling you out. I think you've gotten better, maybe.
When you name drop, man.
Yeah. They definitely will not be a sponsor after hearing this show, for sure.
But sponsor my blog, Chuck E. Cheese. I thought you were very clean.
Oh, yes. Yes. Marie thought you were great. So go ahead. I mean, I think I still have some tokens. I'll have to give those to you.
Okay.
I think I have some tokens.
They have like electronic cards now.
Oh, they do. Oh, okay. Gosh. Boy, I'm ancient, I guess.
There's
now.
Still tickets, though.
Okay, they're still, okay. There's still, so they have digital cards that you can swipe for
paper
to pay,
tickets.
But they're still paper tickets.
And then you feed the paper tickets into a machine that counts them and then get another card to go to the prize counter.
That is just redunculous.
Redundant.
Okay, my brain hurts after that, hearing that. That's just silly. All right. Well, so what's silly is we just keep going round and round. I think we probably have to land this thing. So,
where are we landing today?
I don't know. The mall. Oh, I got to go to the Apple Store.
The Mall of America. Cool.
Yeah, all exactly. Right. I got to go to the Apple Store. I got to get some. I'm not even an iPhone user, but I just got to go to the Apple Store because everybody goes there.
Oh, cool. Yeah. See, it is the shiniest place in the mall.
It is. It's the cleanest place to go to. So, you know, maybe Cinnabon. Get some
nice,
yeah,
Annie's pretzels.
Yeah,
oh some, wait, you can't eat that.
I can't really. I'm living vicariously through you, so you'll just eat those, and then I'll just kind of get a whiff of
you
it.
You can just smell the nacho cheese. Okay.
Yeah. So, folks, we're just gonna land next to the mall here, and we're gonna test you. Are you going to be good enough to just stay in your seats, or deplane and leave the mall and get far and far away from it, or are we? I don't know. It depends on how many drinks you've probably had on this one. So anyway. All right, folks. Well, be careful out there. Be safe with your consumerism. And we appreciate you tuning in. And I'm going to be signing off.
All right. Signing off, and see you guys next time.